You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Was Szoboszlai's free kick a moment of brilliance or bad goalkeeping in the Liverpool-Arsenal game? Is Peter Schmeichel right in calling Arsenal ugly? Is Florian Wirtz living up to his price tag yet? And what does it mean when a player hasn't set the world on fire? Hello and welcome back to the Footglish podcast, a podcast where football meets English and where the beautiful game gives us plenty to talk about, argue about, and maybe even learn from. I'm your host, Zdenek, a long-suffering Arsenal fan who is still recovering from the weekend's result at Anfield. Yes, I have to say this. This is what I have to start with. Liverpool 1, Arsenal 0. Thanks to a Szoboszlai screamer. And I would rather not watch that and talk about that ever again. But you know what? To make matters worse, I'm not suffering alone. In fact, this person is definitely not suffering. Joining me today is Paul, a proud Liverpool fan, who is here to rub salt into my wounds and gloat about that clean sheet of theirs that they produced in this game, and probably remind me that Liverpool are still the team to beat this season. Welcome, Paul. Welcome back to the Footglish podcast.
Hi, Zdenek. Thank you for having me. Yes, I feel you are a bit of a sadist inviting me on to talk about this match. I hope you enjoy it.
I wouldn't call myself a sadist, but obviously, in terms of football, I am, yes. In my private life, I don't think I am. No. I think I'm just a normal dude, not a psychopath, not a sadist. But when it comes to football, yes, I'm a glutton for punishment. That's for sure.
As most football fans are, yes.
Yeah, but I also like challenges, and I don't mind inviting someone when they beat my team, because I feel like why not make things interesting. So. Let me start with this question. Was Szoboszlai's free kick pure class brilliant, or should our goalkeeper have done better? What do you think, Paul?
Oh, I think Raya admitted after the match he needs to... Well, a little excuse he gave was that he needs to get used to the new Puma balls. It's been Nike for such a long time. I saw an interview. He said they have been using Nike footballs for a long time, and now the Puma balls move differently, and he needs to get used to it. But I think when it was like there was a match bereft of chances, there wasn't many chances. So when the free kick was given, there was a sense of anticipation because it was going to be a shot at goal, and there wasn't many shots at goal in the match.
But let's be honest, what was the distance? That was how far was it?
32 meters, over 32 yards.
82 meters, come on. What's the XG of that even? Yeah. It's very low.
It was very central, wasn't it? But I noticed Arsenal had three people in the wall, all tall, like Calafiori, I think Gyökeres possibly. And it went over Calafiori's head, and he jumped high, Calafiori, and it went over his head. So the ability to get it up and over with power and curl from Szoboszlai, like people have seen it before for Hungary. We haven't seen it for Liverpool, but it was an incredible free kick, I think. Yeah.
No, I definitely agree with you.
And I cannot blame the goalkeeper.
The game was boring, you know, in a sense. So that was like a bright moment in that game, moment of brilliance, and at least something happened. I know Arsenal are on the receiving end of it, but at least, like, if you are a neutral fan, at least you saw something, because it was an amazing free kick, top bins, right? Mm-hmm. And
in the 83rd minute, was it, as well? So near the end of the match.
Late winner. Yeah.
No, an incredible moment. And he's been he's been so good this season. Szoboszlai started in midfield. Yeah. And he's played at right back for the last two matches and been man of the match in both matches.
Great stuff from the Hungarian international, for sure.
Yeah.
Liverpool kept their first clean sheet in 8 league games or something like that?
Possibly.
Something like that. So did Arne Slot fix the defense in 1 week, or did Arsenal just make you look good?
Well, it was interesting because Arsenal had a lot of corners where they are most dangerous. I think you actually play for corners. So,
that's true.
We didn't really have any corners and long throws. I can't remember any problems from them, really. So Liverpool defended them well. Van Dijk was really good. Konate probably had his best game for Liverpool this season. I think Liverpool defended well. But Arsenal didn't take many chances, I feel, as well. They didn't take many chances to push forward or chances to put Liverpool under pressure so much.
The thing is, we didn't create much because even Jamie Carragher reckons that Arsenal's problem is creativity and not finishing. Do you agree, or is this just another?
Yeah, like you didn't miss any chances. I suppose Eze got away from defenders. It was a lucky ricochet, I think, and he got in, but. And he never got a shot at goal when he should have. But, there wasn't many chances that you created.
So if I ask you to be honest, you were not really worried at all during that game because defensively, Arsenal didn't give Liverpool a sniff.
I don't know. I think the game was tense. I think both teams played it really cautiously because they knew one slip up and the other team could be in. So Arsenal were quite cautious, but also were Liverpool. I think Liverpool were cautious. And when Liverpool did try a couple of times in the first half, they broke both teams. It wasn't just Arsenal who were cautious. I think Liverpool were cautious too.
Peter Schmeichel apparently called Arsenal's football ugly and annoying to watch. Did you find us that bad, or is that
I read that, and I think that's a bit of an overstatement. I think Arsenal played well. I think Arsenal came to Anfield. They were missing Saka and Odegaard, two of their most creative players.
Odegaard was on the bench,
So they added Madueke for Saka, which is a bit of a step down, and then they added Marino for Odegaard, and playing Marino as a attacking midfielder, he's not the most creative player.
He's not a bad player, but he shouldn't be a starter.
He's not creative, is he?
It was out of necessity. I think Arteta was trying to be cautious with Odegaard because he got injured in the previous game.
Yeah.
So eventually Odegaard came on as a substitute, but I think Arteta was just trying to play it safe.
I think you have players. You have Wanyeri. Wanyeri should play. He's a really good player, I think. Wanyeri, you also have Trossard, possibly, or Eze could have started. But he started Marino.
Maybe there's some kind of hierarchy there, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe because he's Spanish, right? Arteta is Spanish. Mourinho is Spanish.
So I think Arsenal played well, and it was a free kick. Liverpool didn't look like scoring, I thought. They had a couple of half chances, but there were always Arsenal bodies in the way. I think
maybe it was a plan to get a draw from Anfield. It would have been a great result. So I don't know what to think about this.
I thought Arsenal played well, and they look strong. They've got an amazing squad. And they could have won.
True. So what about the new signings? Are you impressed with anyone, or how are you finding them?
So far for Liverpool, I'm impressed with Ekitike.
Yeah.
And I watched the video. Yeah, I think Ekitike has been... Even yesterday, I thought he did well. He was against two defenders and he has a real enthusiasm. He looks like quite hungry to score goals. He looks disappointed when he's taken off, which is natural when the match is 0-0 for a striker to be taken off. And also Wirtz. So Wirtz has come in, which I was really excited about. And I just think he's struggling to find space in the midfield. He's playing like within a midfield three. So he's doing a lot of running. Like I think he's not stopping running. He's running around a lot. He's trying to find space, but it's so tight in there, especially on Sunday. I feel he's doing well. I think he's being asked to do a lot of running because he is the most forward player of the three. So he's doing a lot of pressing. He's trying to find space. And maybe this is affecting him when he does eventually get the ball. But I think he's doing well without actually setting the world on fire. Hopefully in a few more games when he adapts to the league and adapts to the team a bit more. But I don't know. I think like the role that he's being asked to do, he's required to run a lot. He's required
That is true. Yeah. But at the same time, I think there is a lot here to unpack because obviously he's a German wonder kid with an amazing reputation from the Bundesliga, a German international, like the best player in years from Germany. And now he's coming to the Premier League, I think, with a massive price tag. I think there's a lot of pressure on him as well. And subconsciously, it has to get to him in some way, in my opinion. So I'm not surprised he's not exactly hit the ground running yet. But at the same time, I don't think he has been a massive disappointment or anything like that. Yeah.
No, and he's 22. I think, as you said, coming in from a different league to the Premier League, the physicality and speed of it, I think he's up to it. I think he will. But at the same time, he is still young, and it may take 6 months. It may take more than that.
It will take less, in my opinion. I think he will start showing his skills and what he's about very soon. You know, sometimes it just takes one goal to like sort of undo this, and then he will be as good as he was before. And I'm sure it's about the entire Liverpool, to be honest with you, because the three games that I saw, I can't say that I watched the always 90 minutes, but I saw glimpses of that game. And that game against Newcastle, I thought Newcastle were the better team, even though you were obviously playing in 11 against 10 Newcastle men. I thought
they had
Newcastle
a lot of
were the team
at the end,
to praise there, not you. And in that first game also, something weird happened. Yeah, you were 2-0 up, right, or something? And then Semenyo scored two goals or something.
Back to 2-2, yeah.
Right. So also, but despite all this, this is a mark of a great team, mark of a champion. Despite all these little teething problems or difficulties, maybe a little bit of a hangover from the excellent previous season. Despite all this, you collected 9 points, which is the most from all the Premier League teams. And
It's unusual, isn't it?
Manchester City, who dropped points twice already. Mm. So what can you say? Amazing start for Liverpool, in my opinion.
Can I just add about Wirtz as well? I think so. Liverpool haven't changed their formation, really. So they've changed the people. Now Wirtz is in place of Szoboszlai. You've got Kerkez and maybe Frimpong on the right.
Yeah.
But Wirtz is in the same position as what Szoboszlai had last year, really. And Szoboszlai didn't score many goals, didn't get many assists. Yeah. The people who get the goals and assists for Liverpool are Salah and now the centre forward or the left wing or Gakpo on the left. So for Wirtz to be considered successful, everybody judges these players on goals and assists. But I cannot see him getting many goals and assists in the current role that he's playing. So maybe we need to judge him in different criteria. And that's what I did today when I watched the video in him. I just watched on how much he is running, how much he is trying to get in space, how much he is pressing. And he's doing well, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure he can only get better. Yeah. But let me ask you one final question and then we can call it a day for today, because honestly, I don't want to dwell too much on this game, which I think you'll understand.
Okay.
But I have to do my job here as the Footgrish podcast host. Arsenal fans are always told to be patient, right? Oh, the pundits say, oh, you have to be patient, all that. It's difficult for Arsenal because obviously the Invincibles, there is history under Arsene Wenger. We did some stuff. And then for a long time, we won nothing. All we got was like, if each time we got into top four and had the Champions League football, that was maybe a few FA Cups, but that's it. Liverpool fans are told they are still top dogs. Do you actually think that Liverpool are favorites for the title after just three games, or are you getting ahead of yourselves?
I think Mohamed Salah was interviewed this week and said that Arsenal are the favorites.
He's just being humble and he's just being respectful.
Yeah, it could be like reverse
psychology.
Psychology a little bit, but like bluffing. Alex Ferguson used to do. But also, I think well, his point was that they have been with the manager for 5-6 seasons. The squad have been together for that long. They've added to the squad well. He feels Liverpool is a new team and a new process. So that's why he feels Arsenal are the favourites. Yeah. Do I think Liverpool are the favourites? Everyone is saying Liverpool are the favourites this year, which is a little bit unusual, really. We haven't been the favourites.
Last year after Klopp had gone. So I think you are the favourites and you should accept it.
Everybody's saying that, which...
It doesn't even bother me that much, Paul, because I respect Liverpool and I'm okay with this. You are only 3 points behind Arsenal. But what really bothers me is how much better you are at Fantasy Premier League. Because to be fair, I have started off really awfully.
Have you, Taylor?
I played the previous season.
I haven't scrolled down the league so much.
Honestly, I don't know what's going on. But every single game week, I was below average. And it's starting to really traumatize me a bit.
Any
tips for me, Paul, how I can turn it around? Tips?
I haven't looked at your team. I haven't scrolled down the league long enough yet. But I don't know. I think pick players from teams that you think are good. I think sometimes people pick players who maybe are not so good teams, possibly.
I had Mohamed Salah. For example,
Salah's good. Yeah.
Yeah, he's good, but he's not really amazing, is he?
Oh, you had him as captain this week?
Not this week. This week I had Watkins, which was even worse.
Yeah, and form is important as well. I think just Villa dropped off a little bit at the end of last season.
They're bottom of the league now, Villa. Even West Ham have more points than Villa now.
Wow.
So, anyway, if any of you want to honestly have a go at me, if any of you wants to take the mickey out of me in fantasy football, you can still join the FootGrish Podcast Mini League. The link is in the description of this video. So it's very easy to join and see yourself right above me, many places ahead. So just enjoy that. It will probably last for the rest of the season. with the way I started. But anyway, Paul, thank you very much for talking to me today about this great result for Liverpool. Not such a great result for Arsenal, but it is what it is. It's football. It can be different next time.
Yeah. Thank you, Zene. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Welcome back to the Language Corner. Those of you that has been listening to this podcast for a while know exactly what this segment is all about. It's all about me being me. It's all about me being an English teacher because that is my job. And here I am for you, for the world, to clarify, to explain some vocabulary that appeared in the interview with Paul. Let's go. Paul called me a sadist at the beginning of the episode. A sadist is someone who enjoys inflicting pain on others, sometimes in a sexual sense. But this was rather a joke, obviously, from Paul. And a sadist also, I guess, can inflict pain on themselves. And I used a similar phrase. I said, I'm a glutton for punishment, which means the same. You enjoy being punished. That's why I invited a Liverpool fan after a defeat, as an Arsenal fan after a defeat against Liverpool, right? Liverpool beat us, and I invited him to talk to me about this game. So I'm a sadist, I'm a glutton for punishment. Then we were describing the goal Szoboszlai scored. It was an amazing free kick, and I said it was top bins. Top bins is another way of saying that the ball ended up in the top corner of the goal, right? So that's what you call top bins in British English. I think both teams were cautious, said Paul. Very good word, cautious. They played with caution. They were careful. They didn't want to make a mistake, right? If you're cautious, perhaps you attack in fewer players. You know, your formation is a bit more defensive. The way you play is a bit more defensive, is a bit more, you don't want to throw the kitchen sink at it, as we say. You just want to wait maybe for the mistake that your opponent makes first. You are cautious. You have a cautious approach, careful approach. What do you think about the new Liverpool signings? I asked Paul, and then I followed that up with this question. How are you finding them? Yeah. So this is a good verb that we normally use to talk about something that we lose. We lose our mobile phone and then we find it, right, later on, hopefully. But also, I can ask someone about someone's opinion in this way. I can ask you, hey, how are you finding this new signing that Liverpool got? How are you finding Florian Wirtz? Which means, basically, how do you feel about this signing? How does Florian Wirtz make you feel? What's your opinion? Okay, and he's doing well without setting the world on fire, was Paul's response. If you set the world on fire, it means you do well. But normally in English, it's used in the negative sense. If somebody isn't setting the world on fire, there's a similar phrase, if a player isn't pulling out any trees. So you can, if you don't pull out any trees, if you don't set the world on fire, it means you're not exactly brilliant, yeah? You may not be underperforming, you may not be terrible, but you're not certainly brilliant. So Wirtz, perhaps the expectations were a little bit higher than that. And I responded to that by saying, I'm not surprised he hasn't hit the ground running. If you hit the ground running, you start really well. You start off really well when it comes to your new job, new team you join as a football player, any kind of really job, usually, where we talk about the job, if you don't set the world on fire, sorry, if you don't hit the ground running, it has a similar meaning, really. It means you don't start particularly well. And then Paul was defending Florian Wirtz, and he said, I think he's up to it. The physicality of the league, he was talking about that, and he thinks that Florian Wirtz is up to it. If you're up to it, it means you're ready. You're ready for that challenge. You have what it takes. You can do it. You have the potential to do it, to be successful. You are up to it. Yeah? Okay. And I think that will be it for today. Guys, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit the like button. It's really important that you do that. Thank you very much for your support. And if you have any comments, suggestions, ideas, feedback, then please leave it in a comment. Every comment helps. Every comment matters. Thanks a lot, and I will speak to you soon. Bye-bye.